SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Labor Day, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, SteveBick.com from rainy upstate New York. To some degree, the season ends a little bit the way it started when we had the wet weather to contend with. Then we had the heat, and then we had a terrific extended period culminating over the weekend yesterday and really on Saturday, just gloriously beautiful. And yesterday described to some degree as Travers 2 with lines up and down Union Avenue. For those of you that were around, or some of you may have seen pictures, whenever there's a new giveaway, whenever there's something that patrons around these parts haven't seen before, you know, something different, this time a zipper sweatshirt. And it was insane. I went in to do TV, and you could tell right away. You know, you can always tell when you're on the Oklahoma side based on the parking. And it was insane. And then getting back around, you know, leaving the Capital OTB TV studio, we had really a nice send off to Loose on the Lead, Seth and I, and Mrs. Weber joined us, as well as Jimmy Jerkins. But boy, the place was absolutely a mob scene. Today will not be as, I don't think, will be as festive and well attended, unfortunately. Labor Day, this is not an ideal circumstance. Thunderstorms rattled through here about an hour and change ago, and it seemed to rain all night long. Went to bed, it was raining, got up a couple times or a couple different junctures, and it was raining steadily. So here's the scenario, especially for those that are looking forward to playing the Empire Six, the Four South. There's almost 800,000, and you got to figure 4.5 times, I would think, easily. So the thing should be 4 million, I imagine, and we'll have to wait for some off turf decisions. Because the seventh race, this is just in the sequence. The Bernard Baruch, of course, is staying on the turf, as is the first race. But the third, fifth, and seventh are off. Third, fifth, and seventh. Third is a 40 claimer for three-year-olds exclusively, actually. And then there's a starter allowance that does have three MTOs in the fifth. So the anchor leg of the early pick five. But the seventh race, there's two MTOs, but frankly, there's a couple of horses that are likely to stay in the seventh that seem to be, there's actually more than a couple. The MTOs don't look all that potent, which is a bit of an oddity. You got at least three in here. I happened to make an OT notation when I was handicapping yesterday, knowing that storms were headed our way. And you know, Danny California, the two, Pipes, the three, and the 10, even Spectator Sport, I thought were all horses that moved up considerably off the turf. So we'll see. And by the time we talk to Nick Tamaro in hour three, the scratches will be out. So that'll make it easier. And, you know, certainly those of you that are going to play the Empire Six, I will certainly join you. And I tried to get it written up, but I kind of have paused a little bit you know, once it became apparent what was going to happen. So, you know, after we get off the air, we'll finalize the last six races, and we'll obviously talk more about what's going on today. There's a lot of overlap. What a terrific weekend of racing so far. There's still plenty of holiday Monday racing to look forward to, including, you know, a couple of venues folding in like they did on Saturday. Saturday, it was Kentucky Downs, a tremendous opener. They had just a fabulous day there. Hammer checked in with me, and it was just, you could tell, he was just giddy about the whole, you know, the whole scenario being there. And he's doing a lot of, you know, racing office catch-all responsibility, you know, kind of a firefighting scenario. And they had a terrific, terrific opener. And those of you that listened to Jeff Bloom earlier in the week, you may have jumped aboard Snapper Sinclair, and terrific effort. He comes back, wins again. And, you know, isn't that the theme, that one of the themes that we touched on? You know, horses that have run well at Kentucky Downs have a tendency to, you know, come back and do well again. And Snapper Sinclair wins that Tourist Mile. And we'll, that was Steve Asmussen, obviously. But when I talk about the overlap, you look at virtually all the venues that had stakes action so far. And in particular, Mike Stidham and Mark Cassey, Mike Trombetta, Graham Motion, all with multiple stakes winning efforts from their horses over the weekend. We'll talk to Mike Stidham in this hour. We'll talk to Cassie as well. Jimmy Jerkins, I told Jimmy yesterday that we'd talk to him on radio, but then the more I think about it this morning, maybe we'll wait. This is one of those roll the dice. If green light go wins the hopeful, well, then you got a double conversation to talk about with Jimmy, because in the Woodward on Saturday, Preservationist, a terrific, terrific ride. Junior Alvarado, so good, you know, particularly two turning. And Preservationist, after the kind of the meltdown Whitney day, and Jimmy explained, you know, has explained repeatedly now what was at fault there, or what was at issue with the full-fledged older horse, a little bit interested in one particular filly. I didn't get into it with Jimmy yesterday on TV, but Jimmy says there was one filly around the barn that was making Preservationist nuts. And they did some maneuvering and got her out of sight, and maybe, who knows, maybe downwind of him as well, because it's a distraction for working professionals of all sorts. And Preservationist, strictly business. What a fun and good Woodward it turned out to be. And we'll talk to Jimmy either later today or tomorrow. But a big chance, the hopeful starter today, green light go for Jimmy Jerkins. I said to him yesterday, how many horses have you started over the years in the hopeful? I kind of poked around. I couldn't find any. And he said, this is my first. So Jimmy's been training 22 years. And, you know, with the kind of operation that Jimmy has, and the, you know, the way he operates, not totally surprising, not known as a two-year-old specialist, but this one is a big talent. And green light go today against three Asmussen runners in the hopeful. I mentioned Cassie and what went on with him, and of course the win yesterday by Perfect Alibi, up the rail, Rad Ortiz Jr. and Perfect Alibi with a little derring do inside the Sky Mesa filly for the Farmers, and Perfect Alibi takes the spin away. So that was just one of the highlights of Cassie's weekend, because of course at Woodbine, you never have to worry that he's not, you know, not scoring up there. And on Saturday wins the Passing Mood with Speedy Soul, another Super Speedy. Super Speedy is getting runners of all ilk, very successful. And at Kentucky Downs, two Cassie winners, my guy Miguel Mena booting home peace achieved in that juvenile. And Hanalei Moon, which was a nice little score in the one dreamer to start that stake sequence. Tyler Gaffleon and the Malibu Moon takes the one dreamer. And so Cassie, four stakes wins so far. March to the Arch for Mrs. Weber today in the Bernard Baruch. And seven horses in the Baruch, and it is super competitive. You know, Chad Brown with three, and Cassie, and the Kieran player, Kerban, who's, you know, been kind of searching around for a win. You got a couple of longer prices, including Noble Indy. Nice Noble Indy, who'd been keeping company with Vino Rosso in the mornings. And, of course, Vino Rosso, a scratch on Saturday morning. We'll talk to Cassie. We'll talk to Cassie first, actually, after the break, and then Mike Stidham. I mentioned Mrs. Weber because she's the linchpin to Michael Trombetta. Trombetta and Live Oak Global Access, the Giants Causeway, wins the Saranac. And what a nice horse this is turning into. The three-year-old, I just wanted to check the weights. Now, he was at 122 with Johnny and is able to bide the time near the back of the pack and then rally and, you know, get by Good Governance, who was also rallying at a very short price, and prevail. And then yesterday, I had seen that one of them was, there was a, one of Mrs. Weber's, I thought was cross-entered, but it wasn't a cross-entry. It was Super Escape. In the La Lorgnette. And at a nice price, Cassie also sent out a Live Oak runner, but it was Trombetta's that upsets the La Lorgnette yesterday. $19 winner. So Mike with wins on both sides of the border for Mrs. Weber. Very nice. There was Grand Motion, the Virginia Derby, have it get to Colonial. And, you know, Stidham, who's going to join us after Cassie, Stidham takes the Virginia Oaks and the Kitten's Joy. He won the Sorority down at Monmouth. And he also won up in Canada because he won the Jockey Club, the Ontario Jockey Club yesterday. Unbelievable. Powell. So, pretty crazy. And then there's Graham Motion, who won for Calumet in the Virginia Derby. And with Mississippi, who was very good. And who, I think, what, both Nick and, did Nick and, I know Nick liked Mississippi. And she was very, very good. Rosario aboard to take the Glens Falls, the grade two. So we'll get to Grand Motion as well. So much to talk about. You got the second half on the boys' side in California today, the Futurity, Baffert. In the debutante, Bast was very good Saturday. Very good. And what about Vasilica's win? Holy cow. A lot to do. Vasilica's, I mean, that was as amazing a finish as you're ever going to see. Vasilica and Flavian Pratt getting the, I don't know if it was a nose, it was a lip, a whisker. Labor Day, let's get going. Mark Cassie first. Lots to do at the races.
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
In the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 into hour one. Labor Day, always a terrific weekend of racing, and there is terrific action coast to coast. And I mentioned some of the venues that kind of jump in with Del Mar and Saratoga. Philadelphia at Parks today, you got the Smarty Jones, the kind of near close-up prep for the Pennsylvania Derby, and the Turf Monster as well, and a very good supporting set of stakes and couple of maiden races for $60,000. And speaking of getting ready for the Pennsylvania Derby, even though we got to talk about a bunch of stake wins for Mark Cassie, War of Will continues to prepare for the Pennsylvania Derby and looked superb yesterday. And I saw a little video clip. Let's talk about him first. Mark, congratulations on a great weekend and welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks.
Start with War of Will, because people might be, you know, he's been quiet. You bypassed the Travers when you weren't satisfied with the Jim Dandy performance, and it looks like it's going to pay off because he looks very good.
Yeah, he is. He's doing really well. I find, Steve, that he does a little better when it's a little cooler. And we started getting some cool weather, and he's just become a monster again. And I thought his work last week was extremely good, and his work yesterday was really good as well. So I kind of looked at, you know, what happened after Louisiana Derby, where we had that time between the Kentucky Derby, and I felt like he went into Kentucky Derby as good as he ever went into any race. And obviously, I think he was going to run extremely well. We looked at that, and we talked about it, and we figured, let's just forget about the Traverse and head for the Pennsylvania Derby, and gives him a little more time between races.
Well, and, you know, by all rights, the way the Traverse went, it kind of feels like, you know, this may have been really a win-win on a lot of fronts, because it looks like the time of the year and the time the extra time off is paying off. And I'm not sure any of the 3-year-olds were beating Code of Honor a week ago Saturday.
No, and you know, and Shug's ran him sparingly, and it paid off. To me, it looked like, you know, as often happens, there's some tired 3-year-olds right now. So I'm hoping that we, with this little bit of a break, that we have a bigger, stronger colt. And I think we do. He's training, like I said, he's training really well.
Well, the other big 3-year-old from the Triple Crown season, Sir Winston, not participating at this time. But that didn't stop you from winning a Grade 1 for the Farmers yesterday. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The Spinaway win. That was great.
Yeah, it was, just wonderful, wonderful people, Tracy and Carol. And to win for them was something special.
Talk about Perfect Alibi. We discussed her already, earlier, off the earlier success, but this was really exciting and a little harrowing coming up the rail.
I didn't realize until after the race. I knew it was tight in there. Julian did a heck of a job trying to not let us through. He did pretty well all he could do, but the good news for us is our filly's a big, strong mare. She's almost 17 hands tall, probably weighs 1,200 pounds. And they're not going to bully her around. There are not too many fillies that are going to push her around. And so she got in there, got in a little tight, but she said, well, you want to push, I'll push you back. And I knew, I could see her wanting to get through there, and about the eighth ball, I was like, if she could just get up head and head with that filly, I knew she'd squirt on through, and she did, and we're excited. She's herself this morning. She walks around, doesn't, like nothing happened, and now we're, I'm fairly certain, almost 100% certain that the Alcibiades will be her next start.
Now, that makes perfect sense, too, and the opportunity to go two turns. The thing that's happening, for a big filly, as you mentioned, she's getting a lot of experience, and she is obviously tractable, and so it feels like, she's becoming and has every opportunity, to become a very, very, serious and dangerous filly heading toward Breeders' Cup.
Steve, and sometimes it because you've watched me through the years. I try to run horses whenever I feel they're ready to run, and I believe that every race is an experience, and it makes them better. And you look at a filly like her, almost 17 hands tall, and you're, why would you have ran her when you ran her? I run them. I had Enforceable, who is the full brother to Mohamian, and I ran him. He's by Tappet, and I ran him 5/8 of a mile at Churchill, and I got some emails questioning why I would do something that stupid since he was bred to run long, but I run them. And I think the experience, pays off. I'd been waiting to run him long. We finally, he ran and going 1.8 miles the other day and won. So he's getting to do what he wanted to do all the time. But look at this filly. had we sat on this filly, she wouldn't be a spinaway winner right now. So I like running them.
Well, and you get your hands on Sky Maces on a regular basis. Usually it's an Oxley. This one, as we mentioned, for Tracy Farmer, Pin Oak actually bred Perfect Alibi, and another grade one win for their breeding operation, because last week I think it was Higher Power that was also from Pin Oak, and there's just no
you couldn't ask for better people. They do a wonderful job. I think the year before, we still have Chocolate Kisses for Mrs. Oxley, that is a really nice filly that I'm kind of gave her the got Stormy treatment. I went ahead and put her away for the fall in hopes of her coming back to be a bigger, stronger 4-year-old. You'll see me start doing that. I'll start laying off a lot of my 3-year-olds. I'll give them some time, and then I bring them back early part of their 4-year-old year. So definitely Pin Oak does just a tremendous job, and great breeders.
Well, and this mare has been very, very productive. No use denying she's a Maria's Mon. Boy, this thing's got this has got Oxley. This has got Oxley written all over it. How did Jack not buy this filly?
That's the funny. We were laughing about it yesterday because if you saw the win picture, of course, Jack and Debbie were there because the reason that I'm training for the farmers is because of Oxley's. Tracy had kind of gotten out of the. He hadn't been running much.
That's right.
Years and. Jack kept saying to him and Debbie as well, why don't you give Mark a shot? So he did it. And, it's been unbelievable. And the funny thing is about the first 6 months or 8 months, we had no luck at all. And I would call Tracy and I'd say, well, Tracy, I'm sorry. And he'd say, we'll get him next time. Never once did he ever, the only thing I ever got out of him was encouragement. And you appreciate that. I had a similar situation with Mrs. Weber. About for the first 6 months I had horses for her, I couldn't do anything right. And she kept saying, well, we'll get them. We'll get them. And we have, and we did.
Yeah, well, and we're going to talk about some of that too, because obviously the Live Oak weekend continues to go beautifully. We got March to the Arch later today in the Baruch over what is going to have to be a yielding or even softer turf course.
Yeah, that's a little concerning to me, but we'll see. We'll see. He's run decent over yielding and good turf. No question he likes it a little harder. I thought going into this race with a hard turf course, I didn't think they would beat him. Now with it softening up, I think he's a little more, it's going to be a little taller task for him.
Well, and being inside too, a lot of times that's the softest area.
That's not where you want to be.
No. Well, let's talk about where you were on Saturday as well, because what went on at the opening card at Kentucky Downs, very, very nice day. And it started right at the beginning with Hannah Lee Moon, who to me looked a little bit like a beach ball in that spot. And Tyler Gaffleone up the stretch, not down the stretch, pulls away.
Yeah, you know what? She's a filly, interesting enough. I didn't have her early on. Another trainer had her, and they had her for a while and just never ran her. And Ian Brennan, who does just a tremendous job for Stone Street, said, I really like this filly. I just think she needs to run. And so we got her, and we ran her the first couple times. She didn't run very well. And then we moved her up, another one of these. We moved her to Canada and to Woodbine, and she started getting better and better, and she's just developed as she's gotten older. I mean, her mother, I believe her mother didn't really get good until she was four, but you know, this is a perfect case where sometimes you just need to run them. And a little like Sir Winston, I think too many trainers give up too early and ask for too much and are afraid to run them. And in the case of her, if she, you know, it just took her a while.
Well, and she physically, how you know, she was the first foal out of that quiet American mare, and you know, a lot of times they can be a little bit, you know, a little bit smaller, and they have to really fill out.
Yeah, not her.
She's good size.
She is big and beautiful. Yeah.
Well, this is a big win for her, and you know, mile and 70 yards in this case, and you know, you also. What do you learn, Mark, when you run them at Kentucky Downs for the first time? Is there anything you get to also take away from the experience because it is so different?
I don't know. You know what, Steve? I've had really good luck out of there. I mean, we a couple of years ago, Aeroforce broke his maiden there, and we came back. We won the Bourbon. He got beat ahead in the Breeders' Cup. Either they kind of like it or they don't like it, but and it takes a kind of a strong-minded horse there because it's kind of open and they're not used to it all, and some of the horses react different to it than others. But I don't know. I've had good luck out of it, out of there. I think the colt is going to do really well. That. We won the turf stake with. I think he's. I'm gonna run him in the Bourbon Peace Chief, and you know, it's great to have success for Joe Minor, and I think we're gonna run him in the Bourbon. I think you'll see him in the Breeders' Cup. I think he's a serious horse.
Well, to win clear the way he did, Peace Achieved, the Declaration of War, and you mentioned Joe Minor, and you and I have talked about him a couple different times. You got my guy aboard in Miguel Mena, who's one of my absolute favorites, and Miguel.
Yeah, he's an extremely good rider.
Yes, he is. And,
I would agree with that.
He's good there too. I mean, we ran second with him once. We ran second to Mott in a 30 claimer years ago, and I just think the world of him. And now that he's healthy,
he used to ride full play for us.
Absolutely,
he won the Stephen Foster.
The Foster. That's right.
Was it Clark? Yeah.
Was it the Clark, and, or was it the? I can't remember. Was the Foster or the Clark?
I think it was the Stephen Foster.
Okay, I think you're right.
But I may be wrong. But you talk about a beautiful horse. That horse, Peace Chief, what a beautiful colt he is. So, and it was interesting because we didn't have any luck with Fly So Pretty, and she kind of lost it before the race. And I could see her all upset, and so I was watching him closely in the post-parade and warming up, and he was cool as a cucumber. And I said, well, they're going to have a tough time beating me. And he went out and he ran his race. And like you said, it's not easy to clear down there. And for him to win the way he did was impressive. Actually, for Helea Moon as well. You know, they won, both won pretty impressively.
Well, and you mentioned Fly So Pretty in the Juvenile Fillies race. And, you know, she yeah, kind of went around, and it does feel like that's one of the ones you kind of put a line through. That Jezebel's,
oh, yeah, for sure.
That Jezebel's kitten ran a huge race for Brad Cox.
She did. I found the other thing interesting about it all is, you know, now with so many of the Kentucky outfits staying in Kentucky for the wintertime, I mean, for the summertime, you see how well Ellis Park courses are coming out and they're running. Ellis Park is tough. I mean, I know we ran in some two-year-old races this summer, and if you added up the field, they would cost $1.5 million, $2 million. So it's not the old Ellis Park anymore. It's, you know, when you win down there, you're doing something.
Well, and Ellis produced three of the four stake winners in the sequence on Saturday because Hanalei came out of the race at Ellis. And, and the other, it's funny, the other producer was Mountaineer, Snapper Sinclair.
Right.
Snapper was coming out.
And if you look at the horses that came out of Saratoga, they got
they got their asses kicked.
Well,
you know, did you happen to, you know, Charlotte was on with us yesterday on TV, and Tap It to Win came up, and we'll talk about them. But she said a lot of the babies are running at that little track in Kentucky, in Indiana, yeah. On the she goes, I'm not going there during the summer. I'm coming here, and it made me laugh, knowing how much success the Ellis, the Ellis program has been producing.
Well, and you know what, and we talk about that often because it's quite obvious. You've seen us struggle at Saratoga in years past, and one thing about me, I tried to figure it out, and so we changed what we did this year. And you didn't see me bring a lot of the young horses that mm-hmm. I normally do, and there was a reason for that. and so we talk about that, you know, Live Oak, Mr. Oxley, even Tracy Farmer. You know, I didn't bring all those young horses, so we're getting them started other way. A lot of people would be surprised to know that this, but we've won more two-year-old races than anybody else in North America, and our earnings are far above anybody else with two-year-olds. But you probably haven't seen a whole lot of them because we run them everywhere.
Exactly.
We've gotten where I like running a lot of my firsters down at Gulfstream because it's only 3 hours from our training center.
Yep.
And you'll see me run them there. But one thing about it, the last time I looked, I think right now we're at somewhere of horses that we broke, young two-year-olds, that we're at 80% of them have started already. There are not too many outfits that can tell you that. And that is because, and back, you and I have had this conversation, I have Mitch Downs, who's been with me 40 years, and we have just a wonderful facility in Ocala, and I'm very proud of it. And a lot of the success you're seeing with our young horses is because of it. And I'm hoping, and I think you're going to see more of it. We're just kind of getting started.
Well, and speaking of Ocala, and that gives me the opportunity to mention, for those of you that have been following what's going on with the storm, they were very nervous in Ocala about, the potential for the storm to rip through and inundate. And that part of it, at least, has been somewhat alleviated with the new path of Dorian, kind of skirting up the coast.
We're still nervous. We're still nervous. But it does look like we could be okay. We normally, the thing about Ocala, and I don't want to jinx it, so I'm going to knock on a little wood, but we're, especially when it comes from the east, we're 100 miles or so inland, which always helps a little. Of course, this hurricane is so large, and I woke up 2:00 this morning and thinking about the poor people. I'd seen videos, in the Bahamas.
And,
often we get upset because we have to scratch a horse or our horse doesn't run good or this or that. Really means nothing. We're so lucky just to be able to be in the sport we are. And here these poor people are fighting for their lives. I think it puts things into perspective. And, I woke up at 2:00 this morning, not worried about what horses have done, but more thinking about the poor people in the Bahamas and hit by these hurricanes. You know, it's so hard to leave your home. I understand, I mean, they're talking about one island may be gone. So just amazing.
We continue to watch, and we weren't sure if we were going to get a show in today or not. And then things, got a little bit, a little brighter, at least for you know, for Broward County, and so we continue to keep, you know, keep tabs. Let me ask you about a couple of things too, since since we're talking Little Live Oak, the Tap It to Win. Here we are a week later. What where do you think we're going to see him next?
Well, you tend to go where you have had the most success, and I keep thinking about wanting to have a two-turn race if he's going to the Breeders' Cup, which I think he's probably right now got as good a shot as anybody out there, and I think that I prefer to get a two-turn race into him. So I would say there's about a 90% chance he'll end up at the Breeders' Futurity, just because I can get a two-turn race versus the Champagne with the one turn.
Yep. It makes sense, and we're hearing that in a couple different places, including from Jimmy Jerkins, kind of speculating about how he might handle Green Light Go. Of course, he's got an agenda today. He's got they got the hopeful first, and it looks like a good group. Mark, I don't want to leave Kentucky Downs either without mentioning the good effort of First Premio in the Tourist Mile. Nothing wrong with that try.
No, I thought, again, another brilliant ride by Miguel. And I thought he might get there for a second. We were doing, jumping up and down. He's extremely nice horse. He probably enjoys a little time between races. And I'm not so sure that race the other day wasn't his best race. It was a big effort. He's a beautiful horse. I appreciate, Team Ballard giving us the opportunity. And I think you'll be hearing from him for a long time.
Very nice. First Premio continues on. Let me ask about some action yet to come today. We mentioned March to the Arch in the Baruch. But at Woodbine, too, you've got a hat full of maidens potentially in the third and fifth.
Yeah, we've got, the third is the turf race.
The third is the turf sprint, the 6-furlong turf sprint.
Yeah, so we've got a colt for Joey G Stables. She's actually shown some run. I would think he would run well. And then we have a curling colt for Chiefwood. And both of them, have trained. I can't say that they've trained like superstars yet, but they've trained good enough that it wouldn't surprise me for either one of them to win. And again, a lot of times we're just trying to get started.
Well, the Joey G is Thor's Thunder. It's an Atreides, and
right.
The Chiefswood runner is the 6 Easy Weekend Curlin out of an AP Indy mare. Kind of feels like probably wants it a little longer.
Right, huh? Probably. But the nice thing is, and I tip my hat to Woodbine and their team, in that they have emphasized getting, they've been able to get a lot of young 2-year-old races going, and it's allowing people to ship in, and we're using it a lot more. You'll see where Tap to Win made his first start at Woodbine, and I've talked about this before. It's just a great place to get horses started. And so what we do a lot of times is we'll run them there and then kind of branch off, and some will come out of there and run, could go to Belmont, could go to Kentucky. But it's just a really nice place to get started. And how nice is their new turf course? It looks wonderful, doesn't it?
It does.
New inner turf. Great. I mean, again, one thing about Woodbine, they are always looking at new things and new ideas. And, Jim Lawson, in my opinion, has just done a tremendous job there.
Got to ask you about the 5th, which is a maiden race for older, going a mile and a 16th on the grass mark, and Osage Moon, who is overdue.
Yeah, there's a horse with a wonderful pedigree. I don't know. I'm tired of making excuses for him. It's hard to believe he's still a maiden, but he is. And, I can stay there.
All right. Anyway, of course, he's the Oatsy. He's the son of Oatsy, the 3-year-old.
Out of a great mare. Yeah,
Oatsy. Yeah, the best. We'll wish you best of luck. Charlotte's got one in there too on the outside, Unsurpassable.
He's another horse that we recently gelded him. He's a beautiful horse by one of the best sires in the world, but so far the lights have not come on. So hopefully they do today. But we're getting they're getting a lot. They're getting they need to step up their game.
Well, and how about Tap the Mojo in that nice allowance race?
Yeah, Tap the Mojo is a horse that's talented, but his elevator doesn't go to the top floor.
Tap it.
Actually, it misses by a couple. he's another one. If he gives you his best, he'll be tough, but you just never know. He's like a box of chocolates.
Well, they're tough. The Tap it, not all of them just... It takes, in some cases, it just takes.
No, it does. Yeah. It does. And, I've trained a lot of Tappets. And most of the time I tell, the owners, and look, just know that it's going to take a little while. And they do get better with racing. Now, Tap to Win, he's a different story. He is all racehorse. He likes what he does, and he thinks he can beat anybody. So hopefully he continues to do that.
Well, Mark, a tremendous weekend and still some nice opportunities. You're already entered coming up on Thursday at Kentucky Downs as well with Duke of Carthania and Ricky Polly.
That sire's doing very well. We like that horse. He can run some. And then we have two fillies running at in the maiden race there. They both have some talent. So it's all just to be how they handle that, course down there.
Well, everything everything that we talked about leading into Saratoga, where you weren't sure, you had a couple of frustrating summers, but it has been a terrific summer for the barn here at the Spa. It finishes up today, and best of luck early. You got the maiden claimer, and then the March to the Arch, and everybody.
All the races are off the turf besides the stake in the first. So we had.
He came out?
Yeah, in the third, where Tricky Magician is not running.
Okay, so just March to the Arch, and you can pack it up. Leave horses? Do you leave horses here at all for a little bit?
No. They're going to go down to Belmont.
Okay.
I have to say one thing. We often hear about when things don't go well, we have all kinds of critics and everything, but what a tremendous job the track superintendent's done this Saratoga for all the different weather that's been thrown at them. So many times we always want to be hard on the track men or the track. I just have been extremely impressed on how good a racetrack we've had and it's been the longest meet it's ever had, and
that's
it's
right.
Held up and done well, and I think they should be commended about that. Yeah,
no doubt.
Great job.
No doubt.
Great
job. Glenn Kozak and his team, they do.
Yeah, they have done just an outstanding job. Outstanding. Okay.
Well, Mark, fabulous, and good luck finishing up this weekend and heading out, and we'll obviously a busy fall lays ahead. Continued success.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Mark Cassie, everybody, and a big, big Saratoga season and much more. Gets out of the blocks at Kentucky Downs impressively with the two stake wins. And I wanted to slip First Premio in there because He, I don't think, got beat a length, not even a length. That was the, and that was the, that was probably the right. Yeah, that was the tightest of the races. Everything else was open lengths. It seemed like once somebody, you know, at the base of the hill there, with about an eighth of a mile to go, in the other races, once they got the leads, they, you know, were basically being chased home. But the Tourist Mile, it, you know, when those cameras shift up the hill, the race kept changing. You know, when they turned for home, it had one look, and then, you know, when they straightened up and it, you know, about the eighth pole, different race. You could see it was changing, and you had horses coming, and you know, it's funny. Sometimes they seem to rally up the inside nicely. Other times they come sweeping on the outside. But that was the Tourist Mile was the, you know, was the best of the three races, of the four stakes. The early part of the card, yeah, we talked about last year and how, for the most part, you know, the logical horses prevailed. Well, the first half of the card on Saturday down at Kentucky Downs, you had the fur flying. I mean, there were legitimate prices that succeeded. Well, when we talk to Hammer, obviously we'll get into it. But the other, you know, the other races, and that formula about where, you know, horses, where they're coming from to do well at Kentucky Downs, and the Thursday card is set. Let's get set to talk to Mike Stidham next, and then, of course, Johnny D and so much more. Mike Stidham joins us, who had four stake wins. he dominated at Colonial with the two, and Woodbine and Monmouth. Mike Stidham joins us next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
thought I saw you in the battleship, but it was only a lookalike. She was nothing but a vision trick. Under the warning light, she was close, close enough to be your ghost. But my chances turned to toast when I asked her if I could call her your name.
We're back at the races, about 5 minutes to the top of the hour. Johnny D will join us after we talk to Mike Stidham. And as I mentioned, top of the show, it was a big multi-track, multi-stake weekend for a lot of outfits. Cassie, Stidham, Motion, and Trombetta. And Mike Stidham, second on the list here today, after we talked to Mark Cassie. And down at Colonial, the return of the Virginia Derby and the Virginia Oaks to New Kent. And as I sent out a tweet when the card was drawn, Graham Motion and Mike Stidham really supported the card. And Mike, I saw that somebody in the outfit retweeted that you guys were leading the charge, and you guys came away with the top prizes, Carnival Colors with a nice upset under Forrest Boyce. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. It was a great weekend, a great night at Colonial, and very lucky and very happy to be able to win those kind of races.
Before we talk specifically about this performance and the Distorted Humor Filly for Godolphin, you're heavily involved at Colonial. Talk about the decision, and you know, knowing that the program has the heavy, you know, turf influence, you know, what went into the commitment to run down there?
Well, for one thing, when we're stabled at Fairhill, you have so many different racetracks to look at. You don't have anybody telling you where you can run and where you can't run, and we're very lucky to trained for David Ross. He runs under Dars Incorporated, and it's actually David's barn at Fairhill that we train out of every summer. So David is from Virginia. He's very involved in the racing at Colonial. And his horses are run there, so it just makes sense to be, you know, targeting as many races as we could there. The purse is great. You know, it's a reopened racetrack with a great turf course and a great dirt track, very safe. And it made a lot of sense to run as many as we could there. So it's been successful. And like I said, we're happy and lucky to have won so many good races.
Wow. And you know, coming into Saturday, you really had you know, been winning at a nice regular clip. So to take the two stakes that you did, you know, you also won the TAA Kitten's Joy. That was with Doc Boy, the Into Mischief for Rick Cantor. But let's talk about Carnival Colors for a minute. And, you know, this was a 1720 mutual, a filly that, you know, we saw as a two-year-old at Arlington on the synthetic. You brought her up to Woodbine to try the Mazarine, and she ran very well in that spot. And then she was basically gone for a good 8-9 months. What was behind the layoff?
So she had, you know, a minor chip taken out of a joint, and we gave her all the time. The one thing about Godolphin is they allow the trainers to do the right thing for the horses, and you know, it pays off in the end. And, you know, we brought her back. She came off the shelf with a nice allowance win on the grass. And had she not gone back to Canada and finished fourth in a stake up there, you know, at a one-turn mile where she got off poorly, had she not had that race, she'd have probably been one of the favorites in the race the other night. But I think the handicappers thought that maybe she wasn't quite as good as her two-year-old form, and they discounted her and bet a lot of money on my other horse in the race, Tasting the Stars, who had a really bad trip and didn't really have a good chance to win. But not to take anything away from Carnival Colors, who definitely benefited from the mile and an eighth distance. The added eighth of a mile really helped her. She broke well. Forrest Boyce had her in a perfect spot on the rail all the way. She had a fabulous trip, and she's a very nice filly, and she got the job done.
Well, career best figure as well. Not as important necessarily with the turf horses as it is on the main track, but 79 Buyer, what lies ahead? I mean, I imagine something like the Queen Elizabeth would be nice as a target later in the fall.
Well, certainly that would be a race that, you know, any three-year-old filly, it would be beautiful to win. But, you know, we'll also be looking at races like the Valley View at Keeneland, which is a grade three, the Sands Point at Belmont, which is a grade two. So those are all great options for her. And, you know, like I said, anytime you're beaten ahead in the Mazarine at Woodbine as a two-year-old, as long as you stay healthy, you're in line for any of those kind of races.
Well, and she's really, you know, she got in just in time the second half of the year to get her season going. And so you know, to get a stake win like this, Mike, it's really nice. And as you mentioned, and as we just laid out, there's plenty of other, you know, plenty of other three-year-old restricted opportunities yet for fillies. And all you have to do is avoid Chad Brown.
That's it. And now, after such a great weekend, I know how Chad Brown and Steve Asmussen feel every week. It's a great feeling.
Exactly. Well, you really let's keep going through the successes. And you know, obviously that race fell apart a little bit in terms of you know, competition. You know, but Doc Boy, that's a nice win.
Very, very nice, and he's a big, strong, developing into Mischief Colt that we paid quite a bit for as a yearling. We paid over $300,000 for him. His second start, when we got him two turns on the grass, he was impressive when he broke his maiden by five. And then, although it didn't look like he won very easy the other night, you know, he was a little bit green under the lights and kind of looking around a little bit. And he had the measure of the horse that was second all the way. And I was very proud of him because he ran hard and, you know, he really got the job done in a stake, his first race after breaking his maiden. So we think he's got a lot more upside to it.
What do you do next with a horse like this? I mean, this was a great chance to get a stake win, but he's going to have to keep improving.
Yeah. I mean, certainly he will have to improve. But he's another one that will, what we always do is we look through the stakes book, we nominate to two or three different spots, and we try to pick what would be, you know, the most reasonable spot. You know, a race like the Laurel Futurity is coming up on the 21st. That's a little quick back, but, you know, that's something we'll look at. And we'll nominate to a few other races and then try to pick the race that looks like gives us our best chance.
Well, we'll turn our attention to yesterday at Monmouth. Before we talk about Woodbine, the two-year-old Sorority, which is a great historic race, a win here for Micheline. And this is a Bernardini filly. This actually a filly that is you know, a Godolphin slash Darley product through and through, out of the lovely Panty Raid, the Include filly that we recall from 10 years ago. Gosh, is it that long? It's more than 10 years ago, I think. But Micheline breaks her maiden in the Sorority.
Yeah, she, Micheline had really shown us a lot in the mornings. A big, pretty two-year-old filly with a big stride. Had worked well at Fairhill. And we thought enough of her to take her up to Saratoga for her first start. And she was another one that got off a little bit slow and then was a little bit green in her first start, but really made a huge move on the turn to make up a lot of ground late and then gallop out strong. And that gave me the confidence to come back in a stake race in her second start. And, you know, she's got enough class and enough ability to to get the job done in a stake in her second race. So we think a lot of her. And again, another Godolphin filly. We get so many nicely bred 2-year-olds each year from Godolphin that we're so lucky to get those kind of horses, and those kind of horses are the horses that make trainers look good. So happy to have the opportunity.
Well, if anybody hasn't seen it, I mean, she wins with authority here under Nick Juarez, and the public, you know, she came in with the best last race buyer, despite being third in her debut, and I don't think that the filly from that race, you know, that race was only 3 weeks ago, and I don't know that Morning Gold has run back, but obviously it's a compliment for the horses that she faced in her debut. How aggressive? There's no fig yet on this race. How aggressive do you get with this filly?
We'll certainly be looking at Keeneland as a possible next start for her. Obviously, that race is a win and you're in at Keeneland. So, we'll be looking at that. It's not a definite spot, but it's something that we'll have to consider depending on what kind of a number she gets out of the race.
Well, Miss Chalene, Bernardini filly, always a welcome adding a stake winner to his to his resume. And the dam, and I because I had to look her up because I wanted it 2007, so it's 12 years ago, my God, when she won the American Oaks, and of course she'd won the Spinster, she won the Black Eyed Susan. She was terrific, Panty Raid, and Micheline certainly bred in the purple, as they say. Mike, you also won at Woodbine. You went up there and you raided the Cassie cookie jar. Talk about Powell's win yesterday, the Munnings in the Ontario Jockey Club.
Well, this was a win for David Ross with Dars Incorporated, which David is been a big owner over the years, and he really puts a lot into the placement of his horses. He gets very involved in that with the pedigrees and the figures, and he loves all that. So it's always gratifying to win for David. And if ever there's been a synthetic track specialist, it looks like it's Powell, because he's won at Presque Isle. He's won twice at Woodbine, and he just loves the synthetic. And he really did. He came up with a huge effort yesterday, and had the one hole. He took the worst of that, and got through, and was really impressive in the win. So we were really proud of him.
Well, and the horse of Cassie's and Gary Barber's that he beat, Olympic Runner, and there was also the Ravelli Invader, big drink of water that was between them. But this was impressive, and it really felt like a forward step. And it's not as if he hasn't been okay on the main track either. When he got rained off at Monmouth, back in June, and when he was looking for his diploma, I mean, he almost graduated at Fairgrounds on the main track.
Honestly, he's a horse that just goes out there and tries hard every time. He's one of those kind of horses that you love to train in the morning because he's got no quirks or issues, and he's been very sound for us. So then in the afternoon he goes out there and lays his body down for you. So, hey, he's just one of those kind of horses that every trainer would love to have in their barn.
He's a Munnings. He's out of a Macho Uno mare. Mike Abraham bred him, and he was a pretty modest. He came out of what? The Keeneland mix sale.
He was bought as a yearling.
Actually, a
short yearling. James Breeden picked him out for David Ross, and he's been really great to have in the barn.
where do you go with him? I mean, do you want to? And I'm wondering. I mean, he's a Munnings. You would think that he could stretch out at least to like a one turn mile. What do you do next?
You know, we've thought about that, and that's something that, you know, you always have in the back of your mind. But he looks like he gives you the indication that he's that 5/8 to 3/4 specialist, and probably turf and synthetic are, you know, his preferred surfaces. So that's where we'll be, you know, zeroing in on. And again, you know, I've got Hillary Pridham as my assistant, and she's constantly got her head in the stakes condition book and picking out spots. And, you know, it's a great team effort that the whole barn works so hard. And my assistant at Monmouth, Ben Trask, the same thing. You know, everybody works really hard, and that's what makes the whole thing happen.
He happens to be a first foal, and so, you know, you don't have a whole bunch to, you know, to go on. I do note, looking at that family, I see Dearest One, the dam, and she's a daughter of Dearest Trixie, who was a wonderful, wonderful sprinter herself on the West Coast, Dearest Trixie.
No, the family is good, and like I say, this little horse just goes out there and tries so hard every time that, you know, that's what gave us the confidence to ship him all the way to Canada in a race where he was third choice yesterday, because you just know that if he's healthy and doing well, he's gonna give you his best effort.
Couple of other notes from some winners, you know, over the weekend too. Back to Colonial for a second. Marshall Law's win in the opener early on the card, right when you were getting started. What do you got there?
So that's a horse that was sent over from Europe. Basically, he had recently run in June over there. So we just got him over here and put a few works into him, and, you know, had him on the synthetic over at Fair Hill, and he had been training well, and we just felt like, well, if we could find something, you know, at around a mile and a quarter, mile and an eighth and up, we found this mile and a quarter race at Colonial and thought that, you know, his pedigree screams, you know, a mile and a quarter and up. If we could get him in a spot like that, it would be a good spot with a $50,000 purse. So it worked out, and it was a great, great win to get it, start that night out the other day at Colonial. It was a claiming race, but it meant a lot because the owner of Americandy, Dan Donahue, has been such a supporter for our stable for many years now. And the horse got up to win by a nose. And it was a three-way photo, and it was a great win. Dan was there at the race. And this is a guy that is so, such a, you know, you talk about owners and, you know, different people in the business. And this guy is so good for the business because he's so patient with all his horses. When they're done racing, he's always looking for, you know, good retirement homes for them. Actually, he and Hillary had a horse named Highly Prized that we raced over here. They sent him over. Hillary and Dan sent him over to England, and he won a jump race over in England this past weekend. So, you know, these are the kind of people that we need more of in the business, that really care about the horses and make you know, a better place for you know, the horses that we all care and love so much.
Well, I'm glad you told me about this and told everybody about it. Americandy with Carlos Marquez Jr. at Arlington, and that does beg a question, Mike. I had Mike Campbell on Thursday after the really wrenching announcement that Churchill is going to bypass a potential casino facility at Arlington. You race in the Midwest and in Chicagoland. What was your read on this, and what have you heard in the last few days since that news?
You know, it really, really, really was heartbreaking for so many of the Illinois trainers and all the people that love Arlington so much, which we do ourselves. And to see, you know, Churchill Downs fight with the horsemen for so many years to get the gaming bill passed, and then for them to turn around and just throw it away like it meant nothing when it meant so much to everyone was really a hard pill to swallow. And I really feel bad for all the people in the Illinois Thoroughbred, you know, Horsemen's Association that fought so hard. Mike Campbell, Chris Block, and those guys. One of my clients, Marty Nixon, is on the board, and I just felt so bad for those guys. And it goes back to, without getting too political, it goes back to what we were talking about. There's so many owners in our business that are willing to sacrifice, knowing that most people in this business don't make a profit as an owner. But yet, again, without getting too political, seeing Churchill only worried about the dollar and not caring about all the horses, the horsemen in Illinois, is really, it's gut-wrenching and very, very sad for our business. And I worry about, you know, as everyone, I worry about the future of our game because of corporations like that. So, anyway, that's my two cents on it.
Well, and we'll see. We'll see soon enough about whether this was a kind of a negotiating ploy and posture to get the legislature to perhaps rework those splits. A lot of speculation on that front. In the meantime, the Carey family needs to be lauded, and they're full steam ahead at Hawthorne. And God bless them. Let me ask you too, Mike, about a couple of horses. One today, I do want to ask you about Saratoga, because there's a lot of people that are going to play later in the Empire Six. And Bengal Gal, in that state bred second level allowance, going 7/8. And she's one of the prices that seems to have a real chance. Give everybody some insight.
Well, we actually had Fetcher.
Okay.
You get to run today. More than anything, just track conditions. We didn't want to ship up there on the off track. Not
right.
Sure that she would handle it. But anyway, she will be back soon. So we'll get her back in the entries as soon as possible.
Well, that actually makes it easier for those of us that have to build tickets in this. This is
there
a very tricky, because I thought she had a chance in there, and
right.
So very good. Let me ask you then about the stake coming up later in the week. You've got Wednesday at Indiana. Tell us about Elsa and her chances.
Well, I'll tell you, Elsa's another one that's going to get discounted off of her last race. It really was more trainer error there. I thought I could get a good race into her off the shelf in the 5.5 distance. And she got off a little bit poorly and just never had any chance, you know, going that short a distance. It turned out to be a bad idea on my part. So we got her back going a mile, and I think she'll rebound off of that race very well. And I think she's got the quality to be a factor in that race. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you get Florent Giroux, and you got 15-1 going in. And for those that forget about what happened in that Galway, even though the winner, that Eye in the Sky, who may be very nice, actually, that Sky Mesa filly of Cassie and Gary Barbers, there was no hope for Elsa in there. And second off the layoff, and it looks like she's worked very well since that race as well. So,
well, no, like I say, she's trained well, and you almost have to draw a line through the Galway And I think getting her back at the mile, she'll be a factor.
Well, Mike, you've been a factor all over the place, literally from Virginia out to the Midwest and up to Saratoga and everywhere you've been sending horses. I'm going to ask you about one more, a first-time starter. How about that Street Sense 2-year-old coming up at Colonial, Sense of Self?
Sense of Self, she has been working well in the mornings, and we think that she's got some quality and class, and I think she'll be a factor in that race that she's in at Colonial. We like the way she's trained, and she's one to definitely watch.
Second race on Thursday at Colonial, and this one a Timonium purchase, the $115,000. And obviously, this is a filly that, as she's grown, has caught attention because she was a $15,000 yearling. She became a $95,000 RNA, and then came back, at Timonium after being. Actually, I did see her go through OBS March, and then ultimately sold at Timonium for $115,000.
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, Hillary and I liked her so much that we pushed Barry Golden, who bought her. We pushed him over his budget. And we said that we really wanted this filly. We liked her so much at the sale, and he let us go over budget, and we were able to buy her. So she's right now. We feel like we made a good buy, and we're looking forward to getting her started. So we'll see what happens.
Well, best of luck, Sense of Self, Thursday, the second at Colonial, and I could go another 20 minutes with Mike Stidham. Mike, we'll let you go. Hey, congratulations on just a exceptional few days, flexing the muscles from Toronto to New Kent.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Steve. Thanks so much.
It's always a pleasure, and you can follow Mike Stidham and the whole Stidham Barn on Twitter as well. Stidham, I'm going to check. I'm pretty sure it's Stidham Racing. But, you know, sometimes they Stidham Racing is right. And he's also got a second personal account, but Stidham Racing, if you want to stay tight on with the barn. And I'm not kidding when I tell you that there's a whole bunch of other ones that I could ask you about, and I wrote the name down of the one that they said they won a jump race that highly prized. We got to find out. We got to let Sean Clancy and company know. This is like flipping the script. Usually the buyers go over there and bring the jumpers. Here's a case of sending one over over there to win over the hurdles. We're going to hurdle into the second half with Johnny D. We wrapped up Fun in the Sun, and it was a thriller because there were some prices and there was some volatility on the board. I know one player rallied from well back, and I think ended up in the money. And I think a couple of the top, some of the favorites that were vying going into Saturday and the final of Fun in the Sun, they ended up, retaining spots. But it seemed like I was tracking it the last few races from Del Mar, and kind of watching the leaderboard and the the weekly prize. By the way, speaking of of contests, last chance today, using the hopeful as the 15th of the feeders for the Beat Bick Challenge, and we'll have our championship a week from Saturday on the 14th, and we've got at least 1,600 qualifiers going into the weekend. So we'll see how many. I'll hear, I'm sure, from Michelle and Holly Short. We'll see how many people yesterday and Saturday. Saturday, I kind of wanted to leave the door a little open, and I tried to make Mongolian Groom So those of you that found Preservationist, you not only qualify, if you beat me with that winner, you get the $1 tour membership opportunity. And everybody that is qualified, you even if you just went with me and you won with me on any of the six so far, if you haven't paid the $50, you got to do it, because what would happen if you end up winning the championship and you didn't sign up for the tour? It's, you have to do that. But if you've already qualified a couple of times, try to beat me today. I'm using Greenlight Go, and maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe I should have reached for something more open, so that, you know. But you do have the Asmussens. You've got Eddie Keneally you could use, Lucas. If you haven't beaten me yet in these feeders, I think you got to try today, so that if you want the $1. Tina's qualified twice. She's got two so far, but she wants the $1, so she's going to pick somebody else today in the hopeful. Johnny's going to join us next, and in addition to the fun in the sun, we'll find out about his weekend, what his thoughts were about some of the performers. A lot to come yet. Second half at the races when we get back.